blessing upon it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're able to read it earlier. We thank you that we have it in our own language. We thank you that we have it before ourselves. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with us now, that you would speak to us through it. Oh Lord God, may I be your mouthpiece this morning, nothing more. May I just bring your word to the people this morning. May your Holy Spirit enable me and help me to do that. May you keep us from anything that would distract or detract from your word. And may you help each of us, oh Lord God, as we are under your word. May we listen to it. But may we not just listen, may your Holy Spirit apply it to our hearts and our lives. And may we not just be hearers, but may we be doers also. May this word continue to bless us and keep us close to you. So be with us here in the building. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. Be with the friends as they watch online. May they, in their situation, know your presence with them there and bless them too as they hear your word preached. And may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you ever wish to hear the voice of God? Have you ever wished that Jesus spoke to you? Have you ever had that sort of thought in your mind as you are considering these things? You think it would be just so much easier if God spoke to me. It would just be so much more helpful in my life if Jesus was speaking to me like he spoke to the disciples. This morning we're particularly looking at John 8 and verse 12. Normally we've been taking larger chunks and going through. Today we're just going to be concentrating on this verse. We're not going to carry on like that. We'll carry on doing larger paragraphs and larger sections. But just today we'll be looking at verse 12 of chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. And it reads, "Again Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's just take a step back from that verse a moment. And let's just take in how it starts. So often I think we rush to the big bit and we miss possibly what's even the even bigger part. We rush to think about Jesus being the light of the world and following him and not walking in darkness and having the light of life. But let's just slow down. Let's just go to the beginning of this verse and let's hear this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying. Do you ever wish to hear Jesus speaking to you? Do you ever long for God to speak to you? Friends, he is. He is through his word. This word, this verse itself is an example of it. Jesus spoke to them. And I believe that God's word is just as live and just as living as when Jesus breathed those words out. And Jesus is speaking to us this morning through his word. We mustn't ever forget that. This is God's word. It's alive and it's real and it's living. And it, God's word through Jesus and the recording of this and the work of the Holy Spirit is speaking to us this morning. God is speaking to us through his word. Don't ever forget that. And then if you wish that God would speak to you, Lord, open his word and read it, because that is where he will speak to you from. You know it's truth. You know it is real. You don't have to sort of desire some extra revelation. You don't need some dream or some vision. We have God's word. It is complete. And this is how God has chosen to speak to us. And this is how God is speaking to us this morning through his word. Jesus spoke to them saying. Jesus is speaking to us this morning saying. John, as he wrote this book, he had one aim in mind. And his big aim in mind, and we keep on coming back to this because it helps us understand what John is about and what this passage, what the passage is about. John wants the people to believe. And in believing, he wants the people to inherit eternal life. And so these words are recorded by John through the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit so that we may be able to believe and have eternal life. Now John's writing style is beautiful, it's dramatic, and he often uses contrasts. Contrasts like we were talking to the children about earlier. Opposites. He builds a picture by using opposites to help us understand the big statements of the gospel, because John wants us to understand. John wants us to be able to believe. And so he uses big contrasts. And there's a huge contrast in this verse, isn't there? And I'm sure you've noticed it. And when we're talking to the children, we mentioned it. Light and darkness. Light and darkness. That's the big emphasis, the big contrast in this verse. And so just for a moment, I want us to think about what light and darkness is. And when I was preparing for this, some of the descriptions of what light is from a scientific perspective made me almost realize that I was never educated in what light actually is. All about waves and things. But this is a definition that I think helps us understand what light is in a simplistic term. Light is a form of energy that enables us to see all the things around us. Light is a form of energy that enables us to see all the things around us. And so what is darkness? Well, it's, as I say, it's not exactly the opposite. You see, darkness is the total absence of light. Or should I say, total darkness is the total absence of light. Very rarely do we in this world experience total darkness. I think sometimes that in Nigeria and certainly in the parts of it where I've been, where there's not the regular supply of electricity, you get a better sense of what darkness is when the sun goes down and the generator stops and it goes and you hear the insects. And you can almost feel the darkness. But as your eyes get accustomed, you realize that there is starlight, there is firelight, and there is an ability to see. Years ago, we were looking after some young people's group in our church, and we went on a youth camp, and we went caving as an activity. We went into a cave under the ground. And the chap that was leading us took us through all these winding passages, some are very narrow, and we got into this large cavern, and there was the stalactites and the stalagmites. It's just amazing to see this part of creation you don't normally get to see, and we had helmets on with little lights on the top. And then he told us to all switch our lights on, and he just had this one light on himself that he was illuminating us and talking about. And then he said, right, I want you all to sit down so you're not going to fall over. I'm thinking, what do you mean, not fall over? And so we all sat down and he switched his light off. And I've never felt darkness like it before. There was no light. The light could not get into that part of the earth where we were. And you could put your hand in front of you and you knew your hand was there because it was connected to your arm, but you couldn't see it. And you could bring your hand up close to you and it would touch your nose without you seeing it. And it was almost as if you could feel the darkness. And why was that? Because there was just no light there whatsoever. Darkness is, or total darkness is, the total absence of light. And so this passage, John is using light and darkness to help us to understand some very important points. And the first heading that I want to bring to you, we've got two main headings, and each of the main headings has got three little subheadings. But the first main heading for this morning is the world is in darkness. The world is in darkness. Now, we're in beautiful sunlight. And Cyprus boasts some of the brightest sunlight. And you can think to yourself, well, what does this really mean? When the pastor is saying the world is in darkness and he's standing in the light and we can see him, is he lying? No, he's not. We need to understand what we mean by darkness in this context. When we look at this verse, when we look at this text, there is an option not to walk in darkness. Whosoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And so that implies that the darkness is the default or the natural state for the world. You have to follow him not to walk in darkness. So this is telling us that this world is in darkness. So what does John mean when he talks about darkness? So under this main heading of the world is in darkness, I want us to look about what John means when he says what this darkness. What is this darkness? What is this passage saying? What is Jesus saying when he's talking about darkness here? And we could call it spiritual darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And we'll come to that in more detail later. But it'd be right for us to conclude that darkness is the absence of Jesus. Spiritual darkness, the darkness that this world is contending with, is the absence of Jesus. The Bible uses the imagery of darkness to illustrate sin and wickedness. And we see this in various parts of God's Word. In Ephesians and chapter 6 and verse 12, which is the passage just before the armour of God and talking about the enemy and talking about this present darkness. Paul was telling the Ephesians that they were living in a dark world. There was a present darkness around about them. This world is in the darkness of sin. We see the effects of this around about us. It's fair to say, and I don't want to be misunderstood by this, I'm not talking about whether COVID is a judgment or anything like that, but what I do want to say, and what I can say, is COVID is here as a result of sin. Illness is in this world as a result of sin. Pain is in this world as a result of sin. Suffering is in this world as a result of sin. Oppression is in this world as a result of sin. And all these things are things that we would see as being dark and difficult and challenging. And this world is in the darkness of sin. And we can see the effects of this darkness all around us in many, many different ways. We were thinking a few weeks ago about racism, weren't we? Racism is a darkness in this world that is due to sin. But this darkness is closer to home. You see, we can easily say that this world is in darkness when we see these effects of it around us, when we see suffering, when we see pain, when we see sickness. But the darkness is closer to home. And this is where it gets a bit more challenging. In Psalm 82, in verse 5, talking about people who have neither knowledge or understanding, they walk about in darkness. Darkness in verse 5 of Psalm 82 is not describing some great deeds of wickedness. It's not describing some great sin. but it's describing the lack of knowledge and the lack of understanding. You see, you may not be a very bad person in the eyes of the world, but you still can be in darkness. You have to remember that simple definition for light. Light is a form of energy that enables us to see all things around us. Darkness stops us from seeing. Darkness takes knowledge away. Darkness hides understanding. Sin takes knowledge away. Sin takes away understanding and leaves us in a dark world. A little later in the Gospel of John, in chapter 11, and we'll be coming there eventually, we're in chapter 8, so in a few weeks' time, or maybe a few months' time, we're going to be there. And Jesus was speaking again, and in verses 8 to 11, he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble." We have this picture language, don't we? It's easy to get across up and down stairs or across a rough area in the daylight, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not with him. This world is in darkness, and the darkness causes us to stumble. And the darkness is there, and it's real, and it's around about us. And another way of God's word explaining darkness, we read in Proverbs chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "He who forsakes the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." There's a forsaking happening here, isn't there? Forsaking of uprightness doesn't sound too bad. But it goes on to say in verse 14, "The people who walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil." So we have a darkness in this world, and this darkness is due to sin. This darkness is due to us being alienated from God because of sin that's come in. And we've all sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and this is a very real situation. We see the evidence of this dark world in the suffering and the pain and the things that challenge us. But as we move on from thinking about what this darkness is, I want us to ask the question, are you in darkness? Are you in darkness? And you can say, well, of course I'm not in the darkness, because are you in darkness? You see, we need to see it in the light of this passage. We need to see the answer in the light of what Jesus is saying. The standard of darkness is not the standard we put on. You see, so often when we ask that question, are you in darkness? Are you a sinner? We automatically justify ourselves and say, I'm not as bad as them. I don't do those things. We don't talk about the things that we do. We justify ourselves by the things that we don't do. To answer the question, are we in darkness, we need to see what Jesus says. Jesus tells us in this passage that the only way out of the darkness is with the light. We cannot generate light ourselves. The only way to get out of the darkness is to follow the one who is light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And so the question really is, are you in darkness? The really question here we're asking is, are you following Jesus? The default position of the world is darkness. We're born into a dark world. We're born into suffering. Did you know, did you realize when your mother travailed to bring you into the world. And travailed is the word that's used, labour. What is labour? I mean, it makes me smile. I keep learning new vocabulary, new phrases. And I think that in Nigeria, before a lady gives birth, they say she's gone to bed. Well, that sounds like a lovely thing. She's gone to bed and she wakes up in the morning, she has a baby. Well, ladies have given birth, you know that that's not how it happens, is it? That there's a travail, that there's a pushing out, there's a birthing. And why is that? Why is there pain in childbirth? Because we're in a sinful, dark world. And the default position of us, we're all born in sin, we're actually conceived in sin. Nobody comes into this world without sin apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. The default position of everyone is Romans 3 verse 23 that you know well tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Or we could put it like this, everyone comes into this world in darkness. And if you've not thought about this before, you probably still are in the default position of darkness. Are you in darkness? We're all born into darkness. We all start our lives in darkness. But are you in darkness now? You see, some people are quite happy to be in this darkness and they don't want the light to challenge it. We know that the light does challenge the darkness. When we were in the Gospel of John chapter 3, a little while back in verses 19 to 20, we realised that the light has come into the world. The light is Jesus. But the people loved the darkness rather than the light. Why do the people love the darkness rather than the light? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone does wicked. For everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed. If you want to hide something, it's always easy to hide it in the darkness, isn't it? Because what does the light do? The light allows you to see, but the darkness hides things away. And this verse really helps us to understand something, doesn't it? In this world, there is mockery of Christians. Why do people mock Christianity and Christians? Because they're in the darkness. And they don't like the light. When the light comes in, it causes them problems. I was told a story of a gentleman who was in the British Army. He was an officer and he was a Christian. And he was a godly, godly man. And he had a reputation of being a Christian. He had a reputation of being a fair, honest, and a really good soldier. And his men under him loved him as a soldier. And they regarded him as their captain. They would have probably died for him in that sense, in a military sense. But there was a time that they didn't like him being around. And that was when the parties were happening. When they had the regimental dinners. Because when he was there, his presence stopped these hardened soldiers from drinking too much. They just couldn't do it. He was there. They knew he was there. He didn't say anything, but they just knew. And then someone would come to him and say, "Isn't it about time you leave, sir?" And he would leave. And that's when the party would happen. Because his light shone into the darkness, and these hardened men knew that their deeds were ill. Now, if a man could do that, how much more does Christ do that? But this explains to us, doesn't it? It shows to us why there's mockery of Christianity, why there is persecution of Christianity. In China right now, Christians are having a really tough, tough time of it. And I saw an article saying the other day that the only people that you should be worshipping in China is the establishment. I was shocked to see it so blatantly stated, if that was not fake news, and I haven't found out whether it's not. We have to be careful of what we read. But persecution is happening around the world, isn't it? Why is it happening? Because people love the darkness. And because their deeds are ill. Some parts of the world are doing all they can to get rid of Christian witness because they don't want the light. And we're all probably saying, we're not like that. We're here. We're here. And there are other people who are aware of the darkness, but they don't want to do anything radical about it. They don't want to upset their comfort zone. This passage of God's word here is all about the scribes and the Pharisees. And the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious of that time. They would never have thought themselves to be in the dark, but they were. And they showed that they were in the darkness because they didn't want Jesus. They wanted to push Jesus out because they'd worked really hard at making themselves look good. They really worked hard to make themselves look like they were the light. But when the light of Christ came along, it showed that they were not following Jesus. You see, for some of you, you're thinking of darkness as being that list of really big sins. I don't do Yahoo. I don't do pornography. I haven't committed fornication. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do the others. I am good. But you're not following Jesus. And if you're not following Jesus, you're in darkness. You cannot manufacture the light yourself. You cannot make yourself right with God yourself. The only way into light, the only way from darkness to light, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Maybe right now you're trying to overcome the darkness of sin yourself. And maybe you're thinking that you can make yourself right with God. But the reality is you are still in darkness. You see, this is a really serious question we're asking ourselves this morning. Are you in darkness? Are you in darkness? And it's a really serious thing to work out. Because our third heading, subheading here, is the darkness of the world leads to a greater darkness. The darkness of the world leads to a greater darkness. Now you can ask that question, how can you get a greater darkness? I want to take you back in your minds to the cave that I was in with those young people. And the instructor who was there, taking us there, he'd had us all switch our lights off, and we were there in this pitch black darkness. And then he says, what happens if you're in a cave situation and you're in the total darkness and there's no light? What should you do? And we, the city children, had no idea of what you should do in a cave in total darkness. And some bright spark said, get your cigarette lighter out. And so I said, I'll be having that afterwards. We had to confiscate that. But he said, the first thing you should do is just stop. Is just stop and wait to see if your eyes adjust. Because although immediately you feel you're in absolute darkness, the human eye is absolutely incredibly made by God. And we can see a candlelight from 2 kilometers away. That's how amazing our eyes are. And that is how powerful light is. And what this guy said, he said, you may be feeling like you're in total darkness,
But if there's the tiniest, littlest bit of light, your eyes will detect it. You'll be able to see it. And you should walk to it. He said the problem of total darkness is you don't know the way that you're going. And if you don't see that light, what you will probably do in the cave is the exact opposite of what you should do. If you can't see any light, he said, look, this is what you should be thinking about. The easy thing to do is to go the wrong way, because that's often the easiest way to follow. He said, if there is a stream or water, listen for the stream or water and follow that. The water will take you out. Follow the water. But if you go the wrong way, you're going to go further and further away from salvation. So he said, see if there's any light, follow the water, or if none of those things, just stay there and wait to be saved. You see, if you don't walk to the light, if you're not walking in the right direction, you're going further and further away from it. How can you get greater darkness? You can get greater darkness by walking further and further away from God. And you get to a point where there is no longer any hope or any light. This is really serious. Jude, in his letter, talks about this. In chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, verse 13, talking about sinners, talking about where sinners will end up, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. The darkness of hell is what's been talked about here. Jesus' words in Matthew 8, verse 12, talking about those who end up in hell, he says they will be thrown into darkness. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And again in 2 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 4, he's talking of hell as a place that's reserved for sinners. And he's talking about the angels that he did not spare when they sinned, and he cast them into hell and committed them into the chains of gloomy darkness to be kept there until judgment. There is a greater darkness than the darkness of this world. And the greater darkness is an eternity without the hope of grace. There is no light. It's an eternity under the wrath of God, being punished for the sins committed in this life. It's eternity of being haunted by the regret of wasted opportunity. It's described as utter darkness, outer darkness, gloomy darkness, eternal darkness. That's why it's important to work out where we are now. Because if we know where we are now, we can do something about it, because the light is still available. To understand the wonder of the gospel, to understand the wonder of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand and appreciate the majesty and mercy of Christ, to better understand this statement of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, we need to see the darkness of the world. We need to see the darkness of our own hearts. I was thankful to hear Brother Tibetan in his prayer praying that if there's any here who don't know the Lord, they will see their sinfulness. He was praying that they would see their darkness. And the first step of recovery is to see our darkness, to see our sinfulness, to see the danger of our state. A few months after meeting Rachel and starting the wonderful courtship game, we went out for a walk. And I'm not sure whether it's Rachel's idea or my idea. I think it must have been Rachel's. I didn't know this place. She took us to the coast, to Eastbourne, and we walked across what is called Beachy Head. Sounds wonderful, beach. Well, there's no beach there. There's just some rolling hills. And Rachel just kept grabbing me and saying, "Don't go too close to the edge. Don't go too close to the edge." Why was I going too close to the edge? It was dark. It was a night time. I couldn't see this edge, and I didn't realize the magnitude of this edge until a few weeks later I went back in the daylight. And the edge of this cliff is, I think in some places, 200 meters, 300 meters of sheer drop into the sea. In the darkness, I couldn't see it. When the light was there, I could. And for some of you now, the darkness is like that. But it's not a cliff that you're over the precipice of. Your heartbeat is holding you back from going into an eternity of hell. And the only reason your heart is continuing to beat is because of God's grace and mercy. And the wonder of this is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world so he could say to the people then and to us now, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Friends, if you are hanging over the precipice of hell, the light of life is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is crying out and saying, "Follow me." Second big point is Jesus is the light of the world. What is the light? Light is the total opposite of darkness. This world is a sin-filled, messed world, isn't it? And the Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute opposite of that. A few weeks back, I was personally suffering from toothache. I needed to get root canal treatment. And toothache, I think, is probably the closest thing I've got to being in hell, just this pain. And it used to get worse at night time. And I'd traipse up and down the balcony, trying not to upset Rachel, trying not to kick the cat in anger for my pain. And then I would see Venus, the star, come, the morning star. And that star would just give me a little hope, thinking, morning's coming. And when dawn starts breaking, it all starts feeling a little bit better. You know that feeling, doesn't it? Jesus is that light that comes into this world, comes into this sin-sick, messed-up world. And Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the opposite of darkness. Instead of hopelessness, there is hope. Instead of wickedness, there is righteousness. Instead of injustice, there is justice. Instead of emptiness, there is fullness of life. Instead of death, there is life, and life more abundant. As John says at the beginning of his gospel in chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, talking of Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And friends, get this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This verse came so real to me, though, many years ago in that same cave. I told you, weren't we? We were sat there in darkness, absolute darkness. And the leader who was taking us round, he got his light and he got it tucked away in his hand and he switched it off and then he switched it on. We still couldn't see it. And then he quoted this verse. He said, "The light shines in the darkness And slowly he just moved his hand off. And as he moved his hand off, the absence of light, the darkness, was dispelled, because this little ray of light came through. Suddenly, from being in a darkness that we could feel, the light shined out. And the hopelessness of being in that situation became a situation of real hope, because the darkness has not overcome the light. The darkness will not overcome the light. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world as the light of the world, and his light dispels the darkness. Jesus has come to save his people from the darkness, to deal with the sin. Sin separates people from God. Sin plunges mankind into darkness. And Jesus came to switch the lights on, to dispel sin, to deal with it forever, and to give us eternal hope in him. 4 months ago, we had a normal, didn't we? 4 months ago, we had lots of rows in church. 4 months ago, we weren't thinking of putting masks on. We're now living in the effects of COVID, aren't we? Our world is totally and utterly changed. And the scientists delight in telling us that it's not going to go back to normal unless what? Unless there's a vaccine or a cure. Mankind's normal relationship with God was unity. When God made Adam and Eve, God came down and spoke to Adam and Eve face to face. It was a relationship. And then sin pushed him out of that normal and pushed us into darkness. And there's going to be no normal until there is a cure. And friends, there is a cure through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is, if you like, is the cure and the vaccine in one. He paid the price of the sins of his people on the cross of Calvary. The judgment that we deserve for our darkness and sin, Jesus took on the cross of Calvary. The nails were driven into his hands and his feet. The spear was thrust into his side. The darkness around showed the depth of depravity and sin that was put upon him. And he was forsaken by God. And the Jews thought, the light's gone out. And Christ knew that the Father was satisfied and the work was finished and our salvation was bought on the cross and the light defeated the darkness. This is what the light is. And so secondly, under this heading that Jesus is the light of the world, is the question, are you in that light? To put it another way, who are you following? The only way to have this light is if you are following Jesus. The followers of Jesus, as this passage tells us, are those who are walking in the light of life. You don't follow by accident, do you? There has to be a purposing of a following. You have to go out and follow after the light. And this Gospel of John that John wrote was all about giving us the evidence from God's word and Jesus' life that we might believe and have eternal life. How do we follow Jesus? We need to see the darkness in our lives. We need to repent of that darkness and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take our sins from us because of what he's done on the cross. And we have to believe that he did it. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It almost seems too simple, doesn't it? The darkness is so dark, the pain is so real, and the answer is just repent and believe. Maybe you're thinking it's too easy. Maybe you're thinking, my darkness and my sin is too much. How can Christ do that? Christ was sinless. Christ is God's Son. Christ can do the impossible that we cannot do. Maybe you want to believe it. You would love to believe it, but you just can't. We'll ask the Lord to help you believe it. Because that's the only way. You see, thirdly, in our subheadings, following the light now leads to the greatest light of all. Just as hell is the ultimate darkness, you'd be right to think that heaven is the ultimate light. Revelation 22 and verse 5 says it like this, and night will be no more. Night depicts darkness, doesn't it? And then he goes on to say there'll be no need for the lamp or the sun. Why not? For the Lord God will be their light and reign forever and ever. Believing friends, get this. One day this world is going to be finished. And the pain and the suffering and the challenges of it will be gone. The ultimate light is there because God is present in the fullness of his glory. The effects of the darkness and the things that we feel as darkness of this world will be no more. Revelation 21 verse 4 says it like this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the former things have passed away. For the darkness has passed away. And why has the darkness passed away? Because God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. These words of Jesus were just absolutely, totally incredible, weren't they? And as we've seen the contrast of light and darkness, in closing, I want to bring us to that question. Are you in the light or in the darkness? Because whether you are in the light or the darkness now determines where you will be for your eternity. No one who is truly in the light now will be in darkness for eternity. The light will be yours forever and ever. And no one who is in darkness now will be able to tell God that they deserve heaven on the day of judgment. It's not going to happen. So the big question as we leave and wrap up this morning is this. Are you in the light or are you in the darkness? Remember that illustration of the cave. You're lost in the cave. You're lost in utter darkness. What are you to do? You're to look for the light. The only way out of this darkness and this world is to look to Jesus. He is the light of the world. He is the answer to the darkness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, your word polarizes this world. We see light and darkness. And maybe for some here this morning, they don't see the light and they don't even see the darkness because their eyes have been blinded by this world. Oh Lord God, come in for them. Shine your light into their hearts. May they see their need of you and may they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their light. And may they follow after him and may they have the light of life. And for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and we are walking in that light, Heavenly Father, we thank you for it. We're amazed by it. Help us to walk in the light and not the darkness. Help us to follow after you and your ways. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.